Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you ever said, I love him, I just don't like him? Or maybe you've heard someone say, I love her, I just don't like her. What does it mean when someone says that? Well, I think in that situation, we say we love the person because we feel obligated. We have to love them. Like maybe it's a family member. You don't choose your family. And if you could, you wouldn't have chosen that person. But they're in your family. You have to love them. You just don't like them. I don't know. I'm not sure. But maybe this is something Christians especially say, because as a Christian, I know I'm supposed to love everybody. That's like item one on my job description. And so the person we're talking about, do I love them? Oh, of course I love them. I love everybody. I have to. I don't have a choice. Just like you don't have a choice of who your cousin is or your mother-in-law. So it's like, I love them, but I don't like them. Meaning, I'm obligated to love the person, but I don't enjoy the person. There are things I find too annoying about them. I don't want to be around this person. I don't like them, but I love them. So I love you, but I don't like you. Question. Have you ever wondered if maybe that's how God feels about you? That God loves you, but doesn't really like you. We're finishing a series today called Liking the Ones You Love. So, have you ever wondered if God loves you, but doesn't like you? Maybe you know God loves you. I mean, the Bible says, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? He loves the world. He loves everybody. And maybe you know he loves you because he had Jesus die for you. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, it says, God showed how much he loved us by having Christ die for us. Jesus died for you. Well, he died for everybody because God loves everybody. That's who he is. That's what he does. So he's obligated to love me because he loves everybody, and I am a part of everybody. I mean, that's like item one on his job description. One, love everybody. Two, gravity, keep that working. Three, answer prayers. Though seems like he doesn't always answer my prayers. Do you ever wonder if God loves you but doesn't really like you? He loves you because he's obligated to, but he doesn't enjoy you. There are things he finds annoying about you. I mean, after all, he knows everything. So he knows all your annoying stuff. So he doesn't really want to be around you. He doesn't like you, but he loves you. No. No, that is not how it is with God. That's not how it is with you and God. He loves you and he likes you. It's true. How do I know? I know because of Jesus. Jesus came as God to earth to live a human life. Jesus had always existed in heaven as God, God's son, part of who God is, and he came to earth to die for us, but also to show us who God is. Check out what we read in the Bible about this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, the Son reflects the glory of God and shows us exactly what God is like, which is important, right? Because we can't see God. So we can feel unsure about him, but we don't have to, because he sent Jesus, and Jesus shows us exactly what God is like. He shows us what God is like, and he shows us that God likes you. He doesn't just love you, he likes you. At one time, Jesus said in John 15:15, I have called you friends. You are not just some person that was forced on Jesus because he has to love everybody. No, he considers you his friend. Now, you might ask, well, but like, who were the people who Jesus actually said that to? Maybe they were just extremely likable people, and it doesn't necessarily mean he likes me. That's a good question. I believe Jesus meant that statement, I have called you friends, for you and for me. But the people he originally spoke it to were the group of guys he had chosen and spent 3 years with. He was training them to become leaders in his movement, his revolution of love. For 3 years, he was basically with them all the time, all day, every day. And I have to tell you something about these guys. They were not a very likable bunch. I'll give you a quick breakdown of who Jesus said that to. Here's the people he called friends. Peter. Peter was always saying the stupidest things all the time. And in fact, one time he said something so dumb, Jesus told him, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus called him Satan, but he still called him a friend. There was Matthew. Matthew had been a tax collector, which was a Jewish man, like Jesus. Jesus was Jewish. Matthew was a Jewish man who had betrayed God and the Jewish people by taking a job with the Roman government. The Romans were killing faithful Jews all over the place. They needed money to fund their army so they could kill more Jews. So Matthew took money from the Jews so the Romans could kill more Jews. Another one of the guys Jesus said this to was Nathanael. When Nathanael was first told about Jesus and that Jesus was from the town of Nazareth, he said, John chapter 1, he said, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Be kind of like, "Pahrump? You're telling me that the Savior of the world is from Pahrump?" Nathanael had prejudices against Jesus. Also in that group were two brothers, John and James. These guys were known for being tough and aggressive. In fact, in their town, they were called the Sons of Thunder. Jesus invited them to follow him. They do. Jesus teaches them over and over, it's all about love. This is all about loving God and loving people. One day, Jesus wasn't welcomed into a town, and John and James ask Jesus in Luke 9:54, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and destroy those people?" First of all, you think you have power to call down fire from heaven? Is that a skill you've developed lately? Because I wasn't there for that. And second, what are you talking about? That's love? Also in that group is Thomas. People call him Doubting Thomas because he had lots of doubts about Jesus, even after seeing indisputable evidence proving who Jesus is. Those guys are in this group to whom Jesus said, "I have called you friends." And at other times, we see Jesus spending time with lepers. Lepers were complete outcasts who no one would be around. We see Jesus take a long, dangerous journey to go to a place where there was a guy who had such issues and was so scary that people forced him to live by himself in a graveyard. We see Jesus befriend prostitutes who were judged by everyone else for their lives of sin. Jesus was friends with people who others would have found difficult to like. Jesus didn't. He liked them. Those were his friends, the people he chose to spend his time with. So, you, do you ever say stupid things like Peter? Do you have some prejudices against God or Jesus like Nathanael did? Have you kind of betrayed God or God's people like Matthew? Do you have anger issues like John and James? Do you struggle with doubts about Jesus like Thomas? Are you a social outcast like the lepers? Do you have some personality or emotional issues that keep people away from you, kind of like that guy in the graveyard? Are you known for sin like the prostitutes? Then guess what? You're the kind of person Jesus likes. You would fit in the group of people Jesus chose as his friends to spend time with. Jesus likes you. And Jesus shows us exactly what God is like. God likes you. Another thing that's interesting, it's not just that Jesus wanted to spend time with them. They wanted to spend time with him. I mean, you read about Jesus' life. People flocked to him. Everyone wanted to be around him. Jesus was invited to parties. Listen, no one wants to be around a person they think doesn't like them, right? You don't want to be around someone you think doesn't like you. Hey, I know you think I'm stupid and gross and you don't like my personality and you think I dress bad and you hate my sense of humor and you despise the sound of my voice, but I was wondering if we could maybe hang out. No, you would never do that. No one wants to be around someone who doesn't like them. And everyone wanted to be around Jesus because they knew he liked them. And Jesus likes you. And Jesus shows us exactly what God is like. God likes you. You know, it's funny. I'm telling you this, but if I'm being honest, I struggle with this. So one of the things I notice about me is that I'm usually not very excited to pray. It's like, I know I need to, so I will, but I don't know if I want to. And I've tried to figure out, why is that? I think it's because I'm not sure God likes me. And I don't want to talk to God if he doesn't like me, if he doesn't want me around. But I'm wrong. God does like me. How do I know? I know because of Jesus. Jesus likes me, and Jesus shows us exactly what God is like. God likes me. Listen, God created you in his image. You might feel like you're too shy, too quiet, too loud, too short, too fat, too dumb. God created you the way he wants you, and God understands you. You might worry that God is intolerant or impatient with some weakness you have. God understands. He understands because Jesus came and lived a human life. He understands how hard it is to be human. God likes you as you are, not as you should be. It's not that God likes some future version of you, the better version of you. No, he likes you right now, as you are, not just as you should be. Now, when you understand that, it changes everything. There's a book called Blue Like Jazz. The author, Donald Miller, tells a story about a friend of his named Penny. Penny had a rough past, a parents divorced, drug addict mom who went crazy and became homeless. Penny wanted nothing to do with religion. Her perception of Christians was that they were narrow-minded hypocrites. And she felt like she directly opposed their views on most humanitarian issues. She said she felt like if Christianity were a person, that is, if all Christians could be lumped into one human being, that human being probably wouldn't like her. During a 3-week trip to France, Penny met a girl named Nadine who cared about Penny's crazy past. She listened to Penny's story, and that led Penny to want to listen to Nadine's story. One night while walking on a beach in the south of France, Nadine explained to Penny why she was a follower of Jesus. She said she believed Jesus was a revolutionary, a humanitarian of sorts, sent from God to a world that had broken itself. Well, this frustrated Penny. She had always been able to dismiss Christians because they seemed to be insensitive nuts, but now there was Nadine. It bothered Penny that Nadine was a follower of Jesus. Penny couldn't believe a girl that kind and accepting could be a Christian. But over the next year, the way Nadine lived out her Christianity became increasingly intriguing to Penny. Penny began to wonder, if Christianity were a person, maybe it would like her. She began to think she and Christianity might get along. They might have things in common. Over the next year, the two of them would sit and talk for hours about school or guys, but the topic always ended up landing on God. Eventually, Nadine asked Penny to read through one of the books of the Bible with her, one of the books about Jesus' life, the book of Matthew. Penny said yes, and she later wrote this. We would eat chocolates and smoke cigarettes and read the Bible, which is the only way to do it, if you ask me. We started reading through Matthew, and I thought it was all very interesting, you know? And I found Jesus very disturbing, very straightforward. He wasn't diplomatic, and yet I felt like if I met him, he would really like me. I can't explain how freeing that was to realize that if I met Jesus, he would like me. I never felt like that about some of the Christians on the radio. I always thought if I met these people, they would yell at me, but it wasn't that way with Jesus. There were people who loved and people he got really mad at, and I kept identifying with the people he loved, which was really good because they were all broken people. You know, the kind of people who are tired of life and want to be done with it, or they're desperate people, people who are outcasts. Well, soon Penny came to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. God himself come to earth because of love to die for us, to save the world. Someone who loved her, who liked her. And she decided that she wanted for the rest of her life to follow him. You know, Penny had thought that if Christianity was a person, if all Christians were lumped into one human being, that human being probably wouldn't like her. What's ironic is that Christianity was a person, Jesus, and he does like Penny, and he does like you. So maybe you hear all this and you realize that you're kind of like Penny. You're not sure you like Christianity and not sure it would like you. And can I encourage you, get to know Jesus. Read through one of the books of the Bible about his life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You'll realize that he really would like you, that God likes you and you would like him. I think you decide that what you want to do for the rest of your life is follow him. Or maybe you're kind of like Nadine. You already know Jesus. You've made the decision to follow him. And if so, you need to befriend people who don't know Jesus so that through you, they can know that Jesus has called them friend. You need to like people who don't know Jesus so that through you, they can know that Jesus likes them. When you made the decision to follow Jesus, that's the mission that you were given. So, whether you need to know Jesus or make him known, I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll take a next step towards knowing him or making him known because he likes you. God likes you, and you would like him, and so would your friends. Everyone needs to know him. Man, can I encourage you to take a next step? In fact, we have something called Next Step. It's a fun online workshop. It's kind of a discussion where you will learn how to know God and how to make God known. You'll get to know yourself better and the plan that God has for your life. It is a really cool kind of introduction and next step into this God who likes us and this life that he has for us. And you could sign up for Next Step today. There's a link where you can join the Next Step Facebook group. And what that means if you join it is you'll get notified, hey, it's starting, and you can be a part of it. Can I encourage you to do that? Maybe you're ready to take a next step. Maybe you're even ready to say yes to a relationship with God. So let's pray, and maybe you might want to make this prayer your prayer. Let's pray. God, maybe there's someone who's watching this right now, and they don't know you, and they don't know that you like them. God, my prayer is that they would take a next step. In fact, next step would be the perfect next step to get to know you and what it means to discover you and a relationship with you. God, maybe there's someone watching and they're a little further along. They've taken a step or two and they are realizing that you love them, that you like them, that Jesus came, that Jesus died for them, but they've never said yes to a relationship with you. It's not just enough to know it or to believe it. We need to personally accept it and say yes to a relationship with you through what Jesus did for us on the cross. God, if there's someone ready right now, I pray they know it's that simple. They just need to say, yes, God. Yes, God, I say yes. I put my faith in Jesus. I put my faith in what he did on the cross for me. God, I am ready to move into, to live for the rest of my life in a relationship with you following Jesus. God, if anyone just pray that prayer. I pray that they would let us know and that they would take next step, because that would be a great next step. And God, for the rest of us, for those of us who have already done that, help us, like Nadine, to love people so they can know that you love them, to like people so they can know you like them. Help us to make Jesus known. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.